in the title, our secret weapon. I debated on whether to change that, but maybe I should call it our largely unused or neglected weapon, prayer, the necessity of praying. What happens to an army unit which has lost connection with its commander or other army units? What would often be confusion or invulnerability, not knowing where the enemy is at then, or losing contact, fighting blindly. So spiritually, it's not enough to simply put on the armor of God. We're looking at Ephesians 6 again. For the armor to be effective, we need to be in close contact with our Heavenly Father through prayer. We need a direct line of communication to our commander, and that is through prayer. A life of dependence on God is essential in our warfare. It is how we are strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Most of us probably feel that we could improve our prayer lives. I know I could. Life gets so busy, especially at Christmas time, right? And may this today encourage each of us to not neglect prayer and a quiet time with God. Even in the busy season, may we realize our need more and more. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We'll read the whole section today. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fashioned on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up a shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. In verse 18, four times, you notice Paul uses the word all concerning prayer. So that will be our outline today. Praying at all times, praying all kinds of prayers, praying with all perseverance, and finally praying for all the saints or the church, believers, fellow believers in Jesus Christ. First of all, then, praying at all times or on all occasions. Praying is not an additional piece of God's armor, okay? But it's the essential needed to put on all of God's armor. He's been talking about the armor. Paul's chained to a Roman soldier. And he's using the Roman armor as imagery for the fact that we need spiritual armor, the whole armor of God ourselves. Now he comes. He's gone through all the normal armor of the Roman soldier, and then directly right in, notice verse 18. It goes continually praying at all times in the Spirit. It's not an additional piece of armor, but it's the essential needed to put on all of God's armor. I like John Piper's quote in his work on missions, his book on missions. Let the nations be glad. He writes, "We cannot know what prayer is." I'm sorry, we cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. I've tried to emphasize to you over the last weeks that we are at war spiritually all the time. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when you try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. Like that current ad, right? Grandma, I need another grape soda. We don't treat God as the big Coke machine in the sky who's there to meet all your needs and all your wants. We try to make a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. We stay in contact with our heavenly commander. We are to pray at all times then. We are to pray when we're content, when we are thankful, when we are struggling, and in the daily course of life. Sometimes it's easy to pray when the way of the battle is hard, right? When you see your desperate need. I remember September 11th, 2001, our small church in Kansas was packed out the next week on Sunday and for a couple months afterward. But after a couple months, attendance kind of went back to usual. And so sometimes it is with prayer, isn't it? We often struggle to pray when things are going well. We're tempted to coast along complacently as if we are doing life ourselves. You know, we're doing okay. We just kind of go right along. We are deceived, though, by the devil because we desperately need Christ always, every day, all the time, especially when things are going well. Prayer is talking to God and being continually aware of our relationship with Him as our Father through faith in Jesus. We are to pray for big and little things because our Father cares for us. And I'm not talking about, you know, spending necessarily hours in prayer. I mean, but being aware of God all the time, daily. Driving down the road, you can pray. I mean, don't shut your eyes, but you can be communing with your Father. I mean, throughout the day is what we're talking about. We sometimes go to extremes. We don't pray for big things, like God to change the hearts of big sinners, or change leaders of the nations, like Kim Jong Un, for example. Or we don't pray for little things sometimes, thinking somehow God, I don't want to bother God with this little need, right? Our daily struggles or our pains or sicknesses, but God numbers the very hairs of our head. He cares about all the details of our life. Just like your earthly Father should or did or does care for your daily issues and concerns and delights to hear how your day went. If you're as a child, so does your Heavenly Father. Talk to Him. Or sometimes we think if we can only get enough prayer going, get enough people praying or shout loud enough to get God's attention or even get the right prayer formula. There's books out there, you know, you can get formulas for prayer and you can, you know, say certain things and God'll give you the answer you want, right? This is pagan thinking. We don't need to try to get God's attention. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you already have His attention because you're His precious child through faith in Christ. Matthew 6, Jesus says this, and when you pray, and He's just talked about not being like the hypocrites standing out in the street corners and showing how pious they are and how great they can, how long they can pray or whatever and all that. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles or the pagans do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. You know, get the right formulas, say the right prayers over and over and over again. God's going to, we can manipulate God to give us what we want. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And some say, well, why pray then? Because He's your Father. Talk to Him. Tell Him. Pray then like this, and Jesus goes on right from that into what's called the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, really. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. But the focus is on God first, on praising Him, adoration. More on that in a minute. But we are to pray, Paul says here in Ephesians 6, praying at all times in the Spirit or by the Spirit, meaning prompted and guided by Him, God the Holy Spirit. Just as the Word of God is of the Spirit, so prayer is linked with the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 also says, But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Ian DeGood says, praying in the Spirit is the outflow and outworking of a relationship with God, which is itself rooted and grounded in the Word, the Bible. We have access to God in the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus, to the very presence of the Father. Ephesians 2:18 said this, for through Him, through Christ, we both have access, meaning Jew and Gentile, in one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father. We need both the Word and prayer and dependence on God. If we are to pray in the Spirit, we are to live under the control of the Spirit. We saw back in Ephesians 5:18 the verse, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be continually controlled under the influence of the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, singing, making melody, giving thanks to the Father, submitting to one another. And then in our daily relationships, we saw how the control of the Spirit then is to affect our daily lives, right? In our marriages, in our relationship with our kids, in the family, and how we work as servants and slaves, I talked about. But especially in the workplace today, we would say. Well, the Spirit stands by the side of believers to prompt them to pray, to direct them when to whom to pray for and how to pray, as well as to energize them in praying for themselves and others, one of the commentators on Ephesians says. The Spirit stands by the side of believers. I like that because He's the one called alongside to help us, the Paraclete, to prompt them to pray, who to pray for and how to pray. To pray at all times. Secondly, praying all kinds of prayers. With all prayer and supplication, Paul says. All kinds of prayer, including requests and intercessions, as well as thanks and praise. One way to pray, commonly explained to especially new believers, what's this prayer stuff? How do you do? Well, acts is one way to think about it, right? Adoration, confession of our need, of our sin, thanksgiving, and then supplication, bringing our requests personally and for our church and the world to God. It's a great way to remember how to pray. We can also look at the prayers of the Bible, especially for guidance in praying. Right in this very book, if you go back to Ephesians 1:16-20, we read, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He's called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Paul says, I'm praying for you to know the wonderful hope you have in Christ, the riches of His glorious inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of His power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in us to raise our lives from our former lives and our dead selves to new life, to live a new life for Him. So pray these prayers for your family. Pray for your family, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, and your fellow soldiers in the family of God to know the hope that they have in Christ and the power they have in Christ to live for Him. Or Ephesians 3, right? 14-19. In this very book, Paul bursts out in prayer again. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, all the believers, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, what Have you ever thought about, you know, if you're struggling with what do I pray? Pray this. Pray this for your family, for your church, for those around you, that Christ may dwell at home in them, may indwell them so that he's living out his life in them, and to know the depth and the greatness of the love of Christ. I should read the next section. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Or consider Jesus' prayer in John 17, what some have called the real Lord's Prayer. The night before the cross, Jesus prays for himself to be glorified. "Father, glorify your name." But then he says several times, "Father, glorify your son, me." He prays for his disciples to be protected and united, that they'd be sanctified by truth. "Your word is truth." And finally, that we would be with him and see his glory and be united. These are all great prayers for us to pray now, for Jesus to be honored and glorified, right, in us and through us, to protect our church, to unite us in love and truth, to let us see his glory now through his word and all around us, and then forever to see him face to face. William Cowper, Christian hymn writer, poet of the 1700s, wrote, "Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Pray at all times, praying all kinds of prayers. Thirdly, praying with all perseverance. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. We are to pray continually and not give up. Luke 11:10, Jesus said, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And it's worded in such a way to keep on asking, keep on seeking. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Don't give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, in the section around it says, "Rejoice always," verse 17, "pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." What's God's will for you? Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Praying continually means ongoing dependence on God and awareness, again, of living life continually in his presence, 24/7, 365. Right? We live in his presence before his very face. I remember as a youth pastor trying to talk about praying continually, and I asked my students in Sunday school, I think it was, I said, "Does this mean that when your teacher's up there lecturing on calculus or pre-calc or biology, that you're sitting at your desk praying for the missionaries around the world?" And one of my students burst out and said, "Yes!" That's a problem with Sunday school answers. I mean, I think that's what they thought I wanted to hear. The answer to that question is no. Praying continually doesn't mean you're ignoring your teacher and doing your own prayer life at the time, but it does mean, what I went on to say to them then, it does mean that as you walk into that classroom, you're walking down the hall, you're thinking about the Lord. How can I honor God in this class I'm going into? Maybe the guy behind me is a jerk and whatever, and I don't want to respond in anger and hatred. Or even praying, "Lord, help me listen to the teacher on calculus, pre-calc, and to glean something from this. Help me be a good student today for your honor and glory, Jesus Christ." Those are good prayers. Or as you're going to work, again, you know, you don't have to sit there and be praying at your desk all day long. That's not being a good worker. But you're aware of God, and so as you go into work, you're praying, "God, help me to honor you today at work. Help me do the best I can for your glory, Jesus," and those kind of prayers. "Help me get along with the person seated next to me." Those kind of prayers are good prayers. That's praying continually. It also means staying alert and awake because we are always on duty. The penalty for sleeping on duty in most armies has not been good. And so Jesus says this to his disciples, no sleeping on duty. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asks him to stay and pray with him. And he goes off and prays in agony before the Father. And he comes back. Here it is, verse Matthew 26:40. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? One sweet hour of prayer." He who said, "Jesus, I'll die for you," couldn't stay awake to pray. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he goes off and prays again. He comes back, they're still asleep. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul writes, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." We don't, and it's also important to remember as we persevere in prayer, we don't pray alone. Other soldiers beside us pray with us, more on that in a moment, and for us. Verse 18, pray for all the saints, all the believers. Also, Christ prays with us and for us. That's a wonderful truth to remember. Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? We said that, the devil is doing that. But Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Isn't that a precious truth? Christ himself is praying for you right now from the throne of heaven. And before the Father's throne, we have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, our representative, our legal defense. The Holy Spirit himself prays for us also, Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us according to the will of God. We may not always know God's will, but he does. And so, I think of it as, I can be praying. I'm not sure what to pray for. You have those moments too. Sometimes pain's so deep, or there's you don't even know how where to begin. Or you have prayers that you say that are selfish. Father, Pat's asking for his own wants and desires, but the Holy Spirit can take that and say, "But Father, what he really needs is," boom, something different. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him." And I think it's a great comfort that the Holy Spirit can interpret our prayers to the Father for us, according to the will of God. But what about our prayers that aren't answered, at least the way that we want? What seems to be unanswered prayer may be God redirecting us, transforming us, or teaching us dependence. God hears our prayers in Christ, if you're his child. But in his sovereignty, he may say yes, no, wait, or I have something else planned. As Abraham Lincoln said of the horrible, bloody, four-year-long U.S. Civil War at his second inaugural address in March of 1865, "The Almighty has his own purposes." Ian DeGood again writes, I think very astutely here, "That doesn't mean you can't pray to be healed, or for a job, or for a spouse. But it does impact profoundly how you respond when God doesn't seem to answer your prayers. The problem is not your lack of faith or with God's lack of power. It is that God has chosen a different path of growth and sanctification for your life right now. It's a call to trust in weakness and brokenness in the God who is your strength and fullness. You never walk the pathway alone." Paul himself was told no by God. Do you know that? I remember R.C. Sproul, I've said this probably too many times, but I heard him talk one time, and he said at a conference, he used this verse I'm going to read, these verses I'm going to read, and a young man came up, and he talked about God saying no to Paul, And this guy, he said, are you saying that you're beyond Paul spiritually? Oh, yeah, I'm beyond Paul. And anyway, please don't think that. But to his everlasting shock, he said, the young man said, yeah. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, Paul saw the glory of God in heaven itself. A thorn was given me in the flesh. We don't know what it is. Could be a physical struggle, illness, sickness, some kind of ongoing problem. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, probably set aside special times, even a prayer and fasting. It wasn't just 3 times he prayed, oh Lord, 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 but 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Every step Paul had to take, he had to take in dependence upon Jesus ever after. And that's really a good place to be, right? Every step I take with you, Jesus. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The paradox of the Christian life, when we realize our desperate need of Him and His power, then he enables us and gives us power. Like Jesus, it's not my will, but yours be done, Father. Keep praying, even when you don't understand, even when you don't know. An illustration is that parents reserve the right to take away even their favorite toys, right? If it's in the children's best interest. And Ian DeGood gives this example. He's got kids, and he says, for example, if you find out that your children's favorite toy contains toxic materials and is recalled, what are you going to do? You're going to grieve with your kids and take the toy away from them, right? For their own good. And he goes on to talk about God may take away what is precious to us or our toys for his own purposes, for our own good. Sometimes we may never know exactly why, but don't run from your Heavenly Father. Run towards him in those moments. Run to him afresh. Like Job, may you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he's a good father. We don't always understand, but you can lean on him, trust him. He's a good, good father, and he loves you, even when you don't understand. So pray at all times, pray all kinds of prayers, pray with perseverance, and finally praying for all the church, all the saints, all the fellow believers in Jesus. Making supplication for all the saints. We are to pray for all the believers around us who are standing against the enemy. We are an army together, not an army of one, an army together who desperately needs the power of God. As you hear about churches around the world or even missionaries, pray. Some of you went to Mexico many, many years. Our church went 15 years or 20 years to 18 years to Mexico. And you still pray for the pastors in Mexico. Praise God, and the churches there. Pastors and churches in El Salvador now, the last 3 years we've sent teams. We have a connection to Pastor Wilfredo in Tepetitan and Pastor Oscar in Citala, and we pray for them. And you've heard some of the needs even today. I went to Russia years ago. I still, by God's grace, try to pray for Pastor Vasily and Sasha and Kira, for example. Our missionaries, our church supports, Zhenya and Vika Lempert in Jerusalem. Pray for them. They've had some baptisms in the Jordan River this fall. Praise God. For the Bowens in Ukraine. Ukraine's a lot in the news, but we have missionaries there right now that are working to encourage people and counseling people and bringing people to Jesus. The Hunters, Jonathan and Maggie in Costa Rica, working with the International Youth Group. The Connors in India. Can't print that, Southeast Asia, but they're actually in India. Pray for them. And their family, Will and Brianna Connor, and their kids. The Beckers, and work with the Roma people in Europe. Clifton's work with Wycliffe, John and Debbie, in translation of the Bible. Jory Bain and his wife work in Colorado with students with CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ. Patrick Horvath, who is half Roma, was here several years ago with us for a summer. He's coming back this fall. He's hoping to go to Wheaton Graduate School. And yes, he has some needs financially and all that too. You can talk to me about that, or you hear more about that later too, as well as Sarah E. Pena from El Salvador. We have connections with the world, and we pray for these needs, and you should. But don't just pray for those across the sea, as important as that is, but those right around the corner. It's both and. It's not either or. You know, sometimes people say, what use is missions? That's utter folly. We got to just focus here. No, it's both and. Okay? But anyway, I've been not good. That's another sermon. But those around the corner, pray for the soldier beside you. God, help us stand for Christ right now, right here at Country Christian Evangelical Free Church. Pray for your own family again. I want to pray, Lord Christ, strengthen my wife, Colleen. Bring my kids to seek you afresh. Those are good prayers. Well, praying for others includes the advance of the gospel through other people, Paul says, and also for me. When you're praying for all the saints around you and all the army of Christ, also for me, Paul says. That's always instructive to me that the great apostle still asks for prayer. I need God and his power also. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Evangelism needs prayer. Only God can open the blind eyes of those blinded by the devil and their lostness. Only God can give life and awaken the spiritually dead. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So we pray, God, awaken them. Bring them to Christ. Paul is an ambassador like we are, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are his representatives just as Paul was. Even though Paul was in chains, he still wanted to proclaim the gospel clearly. Colossians 4:2-4, fantastic parallel passage. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I'm in prison, that I make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Those are great prayers for evangelists, great prayers for the pastor, Pat, that make the message clear as I ought to. If Paul, the great apostle, the missionary, needed prayer, how much more do we, right? Paul is not as concerned with his personal freedom as he is concerned with gospel freedom. He wants to speak freely about the gospel. Paul probably wanted to get out of being chained to the Roman soldier, right? But he recognized that's not the greatest freedom. The greatest is the gospel. So Paul says he must speak, and he wants to speak boldly, unashamedly, with confidence in Christ. We are to do the same. We need clarity and courage. You know, some quote, I think it's from St. Francis or whatever, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Words are necessary to share the actual message of the gospel. I know it's important to live it. Okay, it is. But words are necessary. Paul says in verse 19 that words may be given to me in opening my mouth. We have to be clear on the gospel that we are sinners, that only Jesus Christ saves through his perfect life of obedience and then as our righteousness and his blood shed on the cross to wash away our sins and his death and resurrection. Only Jesus Christ saves. Be clear on the message and let's be courageous to speak the truth in Christ even when it's not popular. John Stott writes, what concerns Paul most, however, is not that his wrist be unchained, but that his mouth be opened in testimony. Not that he may be set free, but that the gospel may be spread freely and without hindrance. It's always the gospel. It is for this, then, that he prays and asks the Ephesians to pray too. Against such prayer, the principalities and powers are helpless. Amen. Well, questions in conclusion here. Do you realize your absolute dependence on God and His power every day? Sometimes people say, we hear stuff that's, you know, shocking or painful. All I can do is pray. Well, then pray. Prayer is the greatest ministry of all. Then pray. Pray as if your life depended on it, because it does, spiritually. Your spiritual life depends on prayer. Pray at all times. Pray all kinds of prayers. Pray in perseverance. Pray for all the saints. Is prayer then a normal part of your daily life and your relationship with God? If not, begin. Begin to be aware of the fact that you live your life daily in the very presence of God every second. Be aware of Him all day long, then. Praise Him and thank Him as you go through the day. And then set aside special times to pray. To pray, again, adore Him and bring your confession and thanksgiving and supplication, your request before Him. And how are you praying for others? You can touch the world by praying for the missionaries and what's going on in the world around us, other nations and missions. Pray for your fellow soldiers right here and your family right here. We need prayer too. And finally, do you pray for boldness and opportunities for sharing Christ? Even at Christmas time, or especially at Christmas time, right? Opportunities to talk about what does Christmas mean? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Does that mean I'm a sinner? Yes, it does. Anyway, yes, it does. But the words may be given me in opening my mouth. And some of you may say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you can at least tell people, when you have the opportunity, what Christ has done in your life and what he is doing in your life. Let us pray together at this time. Father, we admit our desperate need of you all the time. We thank you that you are sovereign, that you are good all the time too. We see this especially in the gift of your Son Jesus to rescue us from sin, death, and hell. Lord, I pray that we would be even more aware of your presence day by day in all of our lives, and that we would delight in being your children through faith in Jesus, and that we would delight in giving you praise and adoration and thanksgiving, as well as bringing our requests to you. Lord, teach us how to pray even more, and to cry out to you and to praise you and desire you more and more. We ask these things for the glory of Jesus, your Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and for our own good. Amen. Let's stand and sing our